This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. There is a certain not small percentage of the American workforce that has spent the past 100 days, give or take, living and working and working and living inside the same four walls. How those four walls, those spaces, those inside spaces where we are all spending a lot of time right now affect our health and work is kind of Emily Anthes's thing. She is a science journalist who's got a new book out about the growing body of research into how buildings shape our lives. It's called The Great Indoors. Emily, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I want to skip to chapter four here, which is titled The Cure for the Common Cubicle. And I want to note that a decent proportion of the office workers in this country right now are not actually in their cubicles. What light can you shed on how this new situation we're all trying to deal with is affecting us?
Well, I think that's still a bit of an open question, and there are a lot of studies ongoing right now to try to answer it. But we do know some things about what happens when you take people out of the office. And in particular, we know that sort of the gold standard for communication and collaboration with colleagues remains face-to-face contact, face-to-face interaction. And so that's something that's really been stripped away and stripped away all of a sudden. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see things like teamwork and collaboration maybe take a hit during this time.
Yeah. You talk about some research at a medical records office at the Mayo Clinic, right? Tell us about that research and then what we learned from it.
Absolutely. So I had the chance to go and visit a really unusual lab called the Well Living Lab, which is set up at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. And it looks like your typical open plan office, but there are all these sensors hidden around the office. And so they moved 8 employees over from the Mayo Clinic medical records office, and then they started messing with them. They turned them into sort of office guinea pigs. The researchers watched from this control room down the hall. I should say the workers were wired up too, so they were wearing, you know, heart rate monitors, and they started changing the environment. You know, 1 week maybe it was dark and cold in the office, and the next week it was bright and sunny, but noisy because they'd piped in conversation through the ceiling, and they just sort of tracked how these employees did.
So two things about it. Number one, it's a little creepy, but number two, the really fascinating part is depending on what task you were doing, these environmental factors affected you differently.
Yeah, that's one of the lessons is that these environmental factors are really nuanced. And so they learned, for instance, that having lots of daylight and a view out of the window boosted employees' working memory, so they performed better on tasks of short-term memory. But it didn't have any effect on their ability to switch between different tasks and sort of multitask. On the other hand, though, they found that if they changed it so it was sort of cooler and bluer light, that did improve the worker's ability to multitask, but it didn't affect their working memory. So that starts to illustrate how, you know, a factor that's good for, or an environment that's good for one kind of task might not be good for another.
One hates to be cynical here, but the research is not being done, I would imagine, or not being used, I guess, in the end product, to benefit the workers, right? It's for the company so that they can get more productivity out of their workers.
Well, I think the research itself is neutral, but there is a range in how it can be applied. And companies could apply it to try to make their workers happier, more comfortable, more satisfied, or they could try to use it to sort of wring every last ounce of productivity out of them. And I would not be surprised if we see some of it applied that way.
When eventually we all get back to our offices. The book is called The Great Indoors. It's by science journalist Emily Anthes. Emily, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Sure. Thanks so much.